שלום חברים, ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. We are currently investigating the remarkable prophecies of Ezekiel relative to the invasion of restored Israel in the latter days. The invasion of Israel by Gog and his hordes in the latter days has been studied by us in regard to its source, its sequence, its scene, its scale, and its season. Ezekiel informs us that from the north of the promised land, with devastating suddenness, Israel is invaded on a vast scale in the latter days. Behold the land of Israel stretched out before your eyes like the harmonious stringed instrument upon which King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, plucked out his immortal melodies. All is harmony and concord when, abruptly, the gnarled thumb of war's ugly fist ruthlessly cuts across the tuneful strings in hateful discord. The mountains of Israel, erstwhile craning their sun-bright summits skyward to the Most High in adoring praise for their redemption, suddenly resound with a vulgar clamor of the invader. Paralyzed by the paroxysm, Israel awaits decimation, when, with an instantaneity that puts the invasion itself into the category of slow motion, the invader suffers the sudden shock of express divine interposition. The God and Keeper of Israel, whose eyes never close upon his land and his people, invades Gog from the heavens above. What natural resources the Almighty God possesses when he chooses to wage war? Earthquake, hailstones, fire, brimstone, and pestilence are among his armaments. The God of the atom is a formidable enemy. Through the yielded lips of his devoted prophet, the eternal God of Israel hurls the dread fiat, Hini alecha Gog, nasi rosh mishek v'tubal. Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. With shattering decisiveness, the fist of God Almighty smites aggression at its ugly root, and Gog reels beneath the blow. With graphic anthropomorphism, the scripture recounts it. Let me quote in full from Ezekiel's 38th chapter and verses 18 to 23. Here are the words. And it shall come to pass in that day, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall arise up in my nostrils. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the ground and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will cause to rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many peoples that are with him an overflowing shower and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will make myself known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Here is majestic and dreadful language, is it not? Unexpectedly, the divine wrath bursts upon the invader with terrible grandeur. Gog and his hordes are smitten with a dread and uncontrollable panic. Consternation takes hold, and fearful chaos whirls the intruders into a vortex of mad terror, in which an insane frenzy turns the blade of each man's sword against his own brother. Fear, stark and palpitating, sucks up the aggressors and hurls them against each other in mutual slaughter, bloody and murderous. For fear feels no pity, and terror closes the ears of the mind. How well may we apply the words of Shakespeare to such a scene? It is the part of men to fear and tremble when the most mighty gods by tokens send such fearful heralds to astonish us. Gog's hate proves to be a halter around his own neck to lead him to destruction upon the mountains of Israel, as the blasting fury from the nostrils of an outraged god smites the scene and circumstance with supernatural visitation. The evil Gog had threatened Israel with a positive necrology, but the God of Israel blasts Gog's purpose with a paralyzing negation. The lifeless bodies of the smitten invaders strew the ground over wide areas. Indeed, the region itself becomes a vast banquet table upon which are scattered, in careless disarrangement, the copious and flaccid fruits of fratricide and judgment. To this grisly feast, heaven issues a blanket invitation to the ravenous birds of the air and the devouring beasts of the field, who cram their bellies with the unexpected ration of gormandizing voracity. Well do I remember traversing the famous valley of Jezreel in the land of Israel not so long ago, when my attention was arrested by the sight of a flock of huge birds of prey quite close to the road upon which I travelled. Vultures, I think they were, and I photographed the ugly creatures from the distance. Vultures in Esdraelon, birds of prey, already in the valley of Armageddon. Surely prophecy provides a mighty feast for them in the years ahead. But even so large a company of gruesome guests is inadequate to cope with the inelegant repast. So Earth's dark storehouse must enclose the surplus. We are informed that the process of burial will occupy a period of 7 months, and that a whole valley east of the Dead Sea will be converted into a vast necropolis in which Gog and his hordes are interred. Even after this 7 months, the services of special officers will be required to search out and bury the bodies that remain, that the land may be cleansed from the defilement of the invading hosts. That precious land of Israel, which once wrapped its soil in the black shroud of neglect and separation from the sons of Israel throughout the long Galut, but which sprang to cast off its gloomy garniture and exchange it for the glad garlands of bridal reunion at Israel's return, now reaches back into time's dark wardrobe to recover the cerements of her previous bereavement, wherewith to enshroud the carrion carcasses of Gog and all the hordes and people associated with him. No muffled drum or ceremonious catafalque for Gog. Imperious Caesar, dead and turned to clay, might stop a hole to keep the wind away. Thus, my friends, malignity becomes manure for the multitudes. But note something more. The outpoured divine judgment is so engulfing that it bursts the boundaries of the local area of the scene of the invasion and extends into the very land of Magog and into the lands which vomited forth the foreign influx. The scorching intensity and the supernatural character of the divine manifestation, coupled with the searching thoroughness of Gog's overthrow, will convince mankind in general that they have witnessed a God-initiated act of retribution. As we would expect from such a demonstration, there are other and more important repercussions which will claim our consideration in my next message. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai p'navelecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai p'nevalecha, v'yoseim lecha, Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.